Welcome to Home Health Revealed, where we share real stories from industry leaders about home health, palliative, and hospice care. Brought to you by Velocity. Grow your home health or hospice agency with the power of Velocity. Velocity's easy-to-read coding and revenue cycle dashboards let you grab your cup of coffee and quickly see the health of your organization.
Welcome to Home Health Revealed podcast. I'm your host, Mike Greenlee, and I got Hannah Vale with me. Hannah, what's happening?
Hey, I am getting ready for spring this week. Are you excited about spring?
Is that why you changed your background?
Yeah, it is. I'm going to send it to you here in a second. But I was like working on a background.
More kind of like an October. Like, it looks like a big pumpkin you got going on over there.
A pumpkin? No, it's a spring yellow color. Oh, bummer.
It's not yellow. That's orange, by the way.
Looks like a pumpkin?
That doesn't look yellow to me.
Gotta go back to the drawing board.
But I will tell you this. Yes, I'm excited about spring being here because, I mean, now we get out of our depression that everyone's been in. Plus, it's March Madness. That starts Thursday, technically Tuesday, but nobody cares about those teams. It starts Thursday. And you know, I'm 0 for 5. Five years. We've been doing the Greenlee Fund, which I'm the only one that puts money in the fund, but other people can win it, which I don't know. We got to change that rule. But, you know, my 18-year-old daughter wins every year, and she knows nothing about basketball.
It's just her luck. Every Is that Miley or Maddie?
Wins. Miley.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
She always wins. It's kind of crazy.
That's funny. And you've got golf season coming up. I know you're excited to golf.
I do love golf. I've already been playing. I shot an 81 the other day. Pretty good. Not too bad. It's about as good as it gets. Doesn't get any better. Amy, you a golfer?
No, not a golfer. Not a golfer. More outdoor water sports. Boating sports, I would say.
Oh, yeah. You ever go surfing?
I have been surfing. I have not been surfing a long time, but learned to surf in Maui a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, I meant, okay.
You're talking about like wake surfing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Our boat is not set up to wake surf. So more along the lines of wakeboarding, slaloming. My kids love to tube all summer long. They're already anxious to get out there, but it's still cold here. So.
Yeah. On the wakeboard, you go about 18 to 21 miles per hour.
Yeah. If not slower.
Yeah, that I think we went around 21, somewhere between 18 and 21 miles per hour. And it hurts when you hit the water.
It does, but it also, depending on if they're trying to do tricks or not, it may be a bit slower.
Yeah. If I got up and just kind of cruised, you know, I can do like I can spin and I could, you know, go around the waves, but I'm not like jumping a wave or anything crazy like that. But still, you hit the water. I don't know how many times I hit the water. I didn't want to get out. I just wanted to stay and it just drowned me. You know what I mean?
But with surfing,
you just kind of just float into the water, you know, and you're wrecked, you know, you're okay. So I went to surfing because there's a couple times I was wakeboarding, got too fancy for my own britches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hit the water, instant headache. You know what I mean? Cause it's just like that water. It's like, you think you would just go through water. You know what I mean? Just right through it. Oh. But no, it's like a hard, it's a concrete. Yeah. Explain that to me, Hannah. How's water concrete?
And you got to feel like you're drowning.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
Beat up last year trying to wakeboard and stuff. But it was fun. I'd do it again. I'm going to do it again.
It is. My kids are all about knee boarding the last few summers as well. So that one, it doesn't hurt when you fall, but if you get sucked under with the board, right, if you're still strapped in and nosedive down in there, that one is not a fun one to recover.
That's the other thing.
From.
Why is it that when we're underwater, we're still holding the rope? You know what I mean?
Like we're supposed to let go.
We're drinking the lake, but it's like this competitive thing. You just refuse to, and you're not getting out of the situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're 10 feet under by now. You know what I mean? You're hitting fish left and right. You still got the rope. I don't know. Who knows?
We've been talking already with Amy, but I want to give her a formal introduction because she deserves it. And then we're going to talk about some celebrations that she has going on right now. But this is Amy Casada, BSN RN WCC. She is the Chief Nursing Officer at Swift Medical, collaborating with national healthcare organizations and clinicians to build digitally enabled wound care programs that improve patient outcomes. With her extensive experience in the healthcare industry, Amy has been recognized as the most powerful woman in business by the Leaders Globe and the 10 most eminent women leaders in healthcare by Insight Care in 2021. Amy's journey began at the bedside as a nurse in an LTAC hospital in Chicago. From there, she continued to develop her career in nursing and became a registered nurse and a wound care certified nurse. Amy has held various leadership positions throughout her career, such as the director of nursing and director of clinical operations at a multi-state and national healthcare organizations. As a respected leader in healthcare, Amy is committed to advancing wound care and improving patient outcomes through innovation and collaboration. And I want to add, as a celebration, that Swift is celebrating their 10 years this year. So welcome, Amy, and congrats.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Hannah and Michael, for having me. I'm super excited to be here today and just share a little bit of my wealth and insights on my journey and in wound care and across the sector. So thanks for having me.
Amy, before we get started, great having you, by the way. That's definitely orange on her background, is it not?
It is. Yeah. And the little, I want to say it's like a stool, maybe a footstool that looks like the pumpkin.
Yeah, it looks like a pumpkin, doesn't it? Yeah, see? Told you. I don't even know how you get yellow out of that, Anne. I don't know.
Did look yellow more in where I was making it, but I can see that it looks orange now.
Okay. As long as
I'll fix it. I'm just messing. I'll fix it.
Well, you know, Amy, a lot has transpired with wound care over the past several years. A lot of that's due to technology, right? You know,
it's
technology advancing. Now there's new reimbursement models coming out, greater emphasis on patient-centered care. So we're talking a little bit about AI wound care, right? So how has AI technology to this point, of course, going to continue to improve, but how's that transformed the wound assessment and the measurements in the home health setting? And what specific benefits have you observed really more around the terms of accuracy and efficiency?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 20 plus years into my nursing journey. And when I look back when I was in nursing school a long time ago, the things that I learned in nursing school, I feel like are rapidly changing, right? So I was taught in the same way 10 years ago, you're taught to take a paper ruler and hold it up to that wound and take the measurements of there. Now, I may hold that ruler a little bit taut. You may have gotten that ruler a little bit wet and it's a little bit saggy, but there was so much variability in measuring those wounds. I mean, I remember the old school days of taking Polaroid photos of the wounds, and we had this big binder that we would have all these pictures. We were handwriting measurements, right? So when we think about even in the early 2000s to 10 years ago when Swift's inception was, that was the standard of care of how to measure a wound. You know, I would take this paper ruler, I would take a Q-tip and stick that Q-tip in there to try to figure out the depth. And AI has just really allowed us to evolve. Obviously, taking that photo with the wound in the frame allows that length, that width, and that depth, and really help us to change that standard of care. And with that AI, there's a lot of different, it removes a lot of that subjectivity out of it, right? It's been proven that there's 44% variability in that measurement of the human measuring, right? So if I have a group of 10 nurses in a room, four, if not five, are going to have different measurements, right? So how do I take that variability out of it, or how do I take that subjectivity out of it and make it consistent regardless if I'm taking the picture or Hannah's taking the picture or if Michael's taking that picture, because then I have accurate documentation and measurements to actually, you know, address that wound and address that wound in a timely fashion.
You just got your iPhone, you know, a little measurement on the iPhone.
Measure, the ruler tool. Yeah.
Yeah. That thing doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. But I mean,
you had like wound care scrapbooking. That's where you came from. That's where we've come from. Right?
Yeah, it is like literally wound care scrapbooking. And, you know, and that scrapbook would get thicker and thicker. And it was just not an efficient way to manage anything. Right. There was no way to look at the scrapbook from two weeks ago to today to actually visually say that there was a change, because I may take the picture, I don't know, 2 inches away and you take the picture 12 inches away, right? Like there's no way to have a reference. I mean, I remember them telling us put a quarter in the picture so then you could have a point of reference, or put a ruler in there, right? So it's come a long way.
And the lighting, it's like using wrinkle cream. right? When they tell you to take the first picture and they tell you like how to take it.
It is very much like wrinkle cream, like allowing for that subjectivity to be removed, and that objectivity, it allows the clinician or the provider, right? Like in our home health setting, we have clinicians, you have maybe traveling providers that are going into those homes as well. Identify in real time, what are the changes, right? Is this wound 10% bigger? Is this wound 10% smaller? And looking at it from a true surface area, right? Like way back when, I mean, 10 years ago, but, and even some of our evidence-based solutions that we use, like a push score or a BWAT, tell you to take the length and the width and calculate that surface area. Well, that's a box or a rectangle. And we know none of those wounds that we're treating are boxes or rectangles, right? So now we allow for that true surface area so you can see actually what is the changes and that progression, or sometimes, unfortunately, that regression of that wound over time. So then it allows whoever is treating that wound to be more efficient and effective and realize at that point of care, something has changed and I need to do some sort of intervening or some sort of interaction.
So that takes me to the next question that I really wanted to talk about with you is, so Swift Medical's AI-powered tools like your smart tissue and your auto depth, that is helping push the clinical decision-making. So yep. Can you talk to me about that and how those patient outcomes are progressing in wound-based care?
Yeah, absolutely. So think of it this way. When I take a picture, we're talking about orange and yellow, right? Like what color is your stool in the background, right?
Yes.
If I'm using an iPhone has their own proprietary colors and images that they're going to take, right? They may have 5,000 shades of orange and 5,000 shades of yellow. Samsung or Google or one of those other devices may have their own proprietary colors, and they may have 20,000 shades of yellow. So without having some way to identify down to that pixel level, what is the color in that photo that you're taking? Orange can become yellow, yellow can become orange. So with smart tissue, essentially the nurse is taking a picture of the wound. It does that length, that width, and that depth, but it's going down to that pixel level to identify what are the four main tissue types of that wound, right? So slough can be greenish yellow. It can be brownish yellow. It can be tannish yellow, right? So it allows for us to identify what is that tissue type in that wound bed, those four main tissue types, epithelial, granulation, slough, and eschar. And then allow for that clinical decision support, right? Because if I'm treating a wound, I'm treating the tissue type that lives in that wound. A stage 3 pressure injury can have variability in their tissue type. A stage 3 on one person can look one way and can look differently on another way. And you're actually should be treating that tissue within that wound bed, not the type of wound. So I'm not going to treat every stage 3 pressure injury the same. It's going to be treated based on that tissue type. So that what empowers smart tissue is, how do you identify that tissue type accurately and consistently now that you're measuring it accurately and consistently? But how do I allow for that so that the clinician at the bedside that may not be the wound expert, right? Like I'm wound care certified. It's maybe one in every 500 nurses has some sort of additional education on wound care. How do I take my expertise and put it in their hands so they can identify that tissue type correctly? And so that way that they can actually ensure that the treatment that they're applying is the correct treatment as well. Right? So that allows for those faster healing times, that allows for that improvement in the diagnoses alone itself, right? We see a lot of inconsistencies in the type of wound that a clinician's saying based on the tissue type that we're actually seeing in there. So it allows for that overall outcomes of those wounds to be improved.
So are you telling me Neosporin doesn't fix everything?
No, Neosporin shouldn't even be used. Vaseline's better for those little cuts and scrapes. My family doesn't even live in my house. Does
Who
not
said
even
it was a little
it.
One? But I thought Neosporin was the, I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to get rid of all my Neosporin. all right, so let's talk about some AI again, technology, and what it is enabling y'all to do, and especially to facilitate better care, mm-hmm. or the allocation of that care, especially like in rural or underserved areas.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how's that doing it. Is it doing well?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, prior to me joining Swift, I supported an organization that had facilities as way north as the Keweenaw Peninsula of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm not sure if you guys know where that is, but it's way up there, way, way up there. And so for me, it's 12 hours away. But how could I support them as the wound care expert for that organization? And the AI technology allowed that, right? So think of it as you can take a photo. They can take the photo, be at the bedside, wherever that bedside is, in the home, in an inpatient setting, wherever it is. And now you have a phone friend. I can call Amy and say, hey, I'm in Hannah's house. I don't know what to do, but I know that this is telling me that it's getting worse. I know that I need to do some sort of intervention, but I'm not quite sure what should I be doing. So it allows for that expertise of the wound care experts or in that interdisciplinary care model to support all these different rural communities or these more at-risk patients versus used to be if I was the home health agency in that same area, I'd have to get in the car and drive up to 2 hours, an hour and a half to see that patient. And then again, I'm only going off a note that a clinician's saying without an image. So what he or she may be documenting may not be what I'm walking into the home. And now I'm walking into the home and this wound is great. And I just, you know, took half of my day to drive out to this wound that was significantly deteriorating based on a clinician's note. Whereas that technology is built bridging that gap. I can help them triage in real time. You know, that's where that this technology is taking a lot of those underserved and rural populations.
In your experience, what challenges do home health agencies typically face when they're implementing this AI-based wound care solution? And how can those be overcome?
I mean, any technology adoption is a challenge. I mean, I don't know about you, but I struggle with technology with my mother sometimes on a daily basis, right? So I think healthcare has adopted technology very well. Some of those seasoned nurses, the new grads, anything along those lines. Our technology is built in a way that it is meant to have a great user experience. So regardless of if I'm logging in for the first time or the 50th time, I can understand the flow and it's going to guide me through that flow specifically. It's going to say, find your patient, take the picture. Our Helix is going to turn a different color when saying, yep, you're in the right way to take a picture. And then it's going to say, where's that patient's head, right? So it's going to prompt that clinician, regardless of their technology expertise, as to follow the process. We also have a whole Swift Academy that has an on-demand training for any new employee, continuous learning programs. We have certification courses within there, depending on what's your role within the organization. That's a complete web-based solution. We also have it in the app as well, right? So if I'm a PRN nurse and I only use the technology twice a month, right? When I log in, there's a little learn thing saying, what's new? What are the new features, right? So it's right there at their fingertips. And then really, we work with a lot of our leading EMRs. So it that seamless integration going back and forth, some of our integrations, people don't even realize it's Swift because it's behind the scenes so much. And it's, you know, almost like a white label type of solution. But we really focus in on what is that clinician satisfaction or what is that customer delight for them to understand. We are working with a very broad range of people that can adopt technology, from the seasoned nurse to that's getting close to retirement, to the new grad that only understands technology and doesn't even understand, you know, how to write a note because they've only ever had to type a note. So we really pride ourselves on making sure that we understand and allow those barriers to be removed for anyone that's adopting our technology.
Yeah. I've seen
AI. It works in rural areas, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Offline.
Yeah. Complete offline. So there's an ability to, like, if I know I'm going to go to a home that's offline, I just download that patient record. I go into the home, do everything that I need to do. And as soon as I get back in cell service or Wi-Fi, it uploads automatically for me, right? Again, what are the barriers that a clinician's going to encounter in the home? We're removing those for them.
You know, AI has kind of sprung up, you know, even though it's been around for a while, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of sprung up really fast. I think this year the most, it's like, bam, here it is, you know? When you look ahead, let's say 3-5 years, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you got one of those magic eight balls. Maybe you might want to get that out right now. What type of emerging AI applications do you think, especially when it's tied to wound care, will have the most significant impact on home health practices in, let's say 3 years?
That's a really great question. I think twofold. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys were at Home Care 100, but I was there this year, and all these AI scribes are coming up, whether it's a dictation, which I think of like dragon dictation that providers have used for many, many years, right? Mm-hmm. Or this ambient type of listening thing, right? Which is super cool that I can just speak out loud what I'm seeing, but also like nerve-wracking, like, holy cow, everything's being recorded of what I'm saying to this patient interaction, right? So it's exciting, but also nervous at the same time. My question is, these AR scribes are going to come everywhere, right? We're already seeing it in inpatient. We're seeing it in the brick and mortars. It's only a matter of time that they are fully ingrained into the home health setting. But the question that I have back is, how are they going to avoid a conflict resolution, right? So if I'm clinically evidenced and all of our technology is peer reviewed, you know, clinically, you know, validated. If I'm taking a picture and our smart tissue is saying this, and this is the tissue type, and here's the length and the width, but you have an ambient AI and the nurse is saying, well, I think that's this, and I think that's this. How are we working together? Like, we're already taking the initiative as a company to work, to partner with some of these. But that's the question I challenge anyone is, if you're going to go down any of these AIs, right? What's the efficacy? How are they validated? What happens? Like, if I'm trying to dictate something and I'm in an elevator and there's five other people around, like, how are you keeping my information private? So I think we're going to see a lot going in AI, but I think there's going to be a lot of focus on the efficacy and how are we protecting our patients' PHI with these AI systems as well.
That's very valid. And I think, you know, maybe you're going to have the opportunity to upload that picture into an AI scrapbook, you know, so to speak. I mean, I just learned the other day that my kids could just snap pictures of their school questions. And then they just upload it into ChatGPT and say, answer all of these questions.
Yeah.
And it spits out answers, like just from a snapshot. I didn't realize they could do that from that. So I see so many ways in healthcare that things like that can be applied, and wound care being probably a great opportunity for that. It's not ambient, but it could be a supplement to the ambient listening.
Sounds like you need to be a better parent.
Oh, I know. I'm terrible. I'm the world's worst. I promise. And ask my kids. They think I'm the world's strictest.
Oh, whatever.
You know what? We're all just out here winging it. If you have the answers, please send them.
I don't. I need to create a manual or something because there's not one out there for it.
Mine didn't come with one either.
No, but you probably can chat GPT it and get a manual.
Amy, you've shared a lot of great information with us on AI, especially as it ties to wound care. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you're super, super busy, but this was great information. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about what technology you guys have or how to get a hold of you to drill you on some questions, how might they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It's swiftmedical.com. you can request a demo from there. You can go through and there's a contact us and one of our, you know, sales associates will follow up. My information's directly on there as well, but that's how you would find us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And to our listeners, until next time.